Australian Bible Church, a Presbyterian church following the Bible without qualification, and the Lord Jesus Christ without compromise by faith, in agreement with the thrust of the Presbyterian Church of Australia Constitution of 1901. Government by grace. Changes in constancy. They're found in the Christian life. Changes in us. Constancy in Christ. Moreover, there is no idle continuance as we follow Christ. There are wars to be won, victories to be achieved, and confrontations to be faced. We're looking at Colossians 3:1-17, which contains such words as these. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll appear with him. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion. It goes on, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is being renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Therefore it says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Such are some of the words in Colossians 3:1-17, which we have read. Changes here in us enable constancy from Christ to express continuation and so form in us the character of Christ as is desired. Let's look at the first section, Colossians 3:1-4. If raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Set your mind on things above. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ, look at this precious statement. Look at it and eat it up. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. For the moment, verse 3, your life is hidden with Christ in God. You may remember from one of Christ's parables that when it's over, then shall the righteous shine like the sun. Now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God, then when Christ appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we've got an eye target. We've got a mind set. Set your mind on the things. Look to Christ. Set your mind on things. There's a life exchange. You died. Your old nature is swallowed up with Christ on the cross, and your new nature is given like a book sent. But it has to be read like a book and lived. And so we have this emplacement. You have the substitutionary sacrifice for Christ. He became a curse that we should be delivered from a curse and freely pardoned. And you have identification with him in death. We are supposed to be planted with Christ so we might spring up with Christ. And the old nature is planted and the new springs up. The death sentence is the next consideration. 3:5-7. The death sentence. We've looked at the emplacement in Christ. Now the death sentence. 5-7. Put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This death sentence. If one died for all, then all died. Christ dies for you. Your old sinful nature dies with him. He not only dies for your sin, He dies for your sinfulness, for the very nature of sin, that you might be crucified with Christ, as Paul says in Galatians 2:20. The eruptive volcanics of vitiated man, stirring and spewing things out, have no peace in them. The world shows that continually more and more. It is an empirical fact. But instead of these plate tectonics, as in the world, the different parts of the underlying earth grate against each other, causing volcanoes, instead you have a celestial plateau in peace, where Christ's death for you covers all the smouldering volcanic ash and sweeps it away. He dies as representing you, so you live as a representative for him. Hence, you put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness. And so that there's a change of clothes, thirdly, as you see in 3, 8 and 9. And again, as you see in 10 to 14, when it comes into more detail. You have put on, verse 10, the new man who is renewed in knowledge, that is the knowledge of God, the understanding, the perspective, the awareness, according to the image of him who created him. You've not been made into a superman or to a subman. You've been made into a spiritual man. You've put on the new man who is being renewed in knowledge. And so this is past tense. As a Christian, you have put on the new man. But the new man needs dry cleaning continually. And this dry cleaning is a process. And so it says, who is being renewed in knowledge. How often did the Lord appear to David and to many others? How often did he come to Paul? Stay in the city, for there are many people in it, said the Lord. How often does the Holy Spirit fill people and give them the renewing knowledge of the vital presence of Christ, confirming them or changing their ways as the case may be, encouraging, enabling, comforting? And so they've put on this new man. Some of the characteristics of the new man, verse 12, 13. Put on tender mercies. I have had quite a lot of tender mercies shown to me during my life, and they are amongst the most delightful things you can ever find. We must show them to others. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That is about the 33,000th time he's done that. Yes, 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 but the poor fellow, he has these problems. We'll try and help him out of it. Bearing with one another. Oh, some of the things she does are almost, yes, 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 but forbear. Forgiving. I'll never forgive that as long as I live. How often have you heard that? I tremble when I hear that, as it were, because you can't be forgiven unless you forgive. Forgiveness is the very atmosphere of life and breath in heaven. You have to forgive. It is God who will judge. You don't need to help him. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. People would love to have peace. Peace. Where are you going to find peace? Not by coming to God and saying, look, I'll have one of you if you'll give me peace. One God will produce peace. Peace is, in that case, your God. I want joy. God, help me. Right, God, some joy, please. Ah, joy. In that case, joy is your God. God must be your God. When you come to God, you will get peace and joy as a result of coming to God as God who says, I am who I am. You can't use God the way a man might use a prostitute or a banker. God is infinitely valuable, and you come in love with grace, with joy to him, and you will get joy and peace by trusting in the Lord and not by trusting because of the things you can extort from him. So put off, number 3, the old man, and put on as we say, you have put on the new man. Now let's look at these things together as we turn to page 2. Don't be put off by what you've put on. Don't say, oh, the Christian life is too hard for me. I'll never make it. You don't have to make it. He's made it. You have to live in him. He will secure the results. Trust him. It has a base, and that base is Christ alone, who being arisen from the dead, has all necessary power. It is necessary to remember that with God is power. Plain, unspeakable, irresistible power. Certainly, he doesn't snatch people and shanghai them into heaven. Love isn't like that. But once the love matter is settled, power is present. There is no limit. Christ said, say to this mountain and ask it to be cast in the middle of the sea, and believing, you shall have it. God has power. If your project is to serve God, you will have power to get it done and to find out how. Three sights cast light on this whole matter of coming to Christ, knowing Christ, and living in Christ. And finding the operative grace and the dispensed ransom, as Christ said, I have come to give my life as a ransom for many. Cancelling debt, enabling companionship, and the provision of power. We can see something of these things in Romans 5, Romans 6, and 2 Corinthians 5. So could I suggest that for the moment, you turn in your Bibles, if you're in Colossians, back a little bit to Romans. Back a little bit to Romans, and if you can find Romans 5 and 6. Now in Romans 5 and verse 14, we have this. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who hadn't sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. In other words, Adam was innocent and fell. Adam's children were not innocent and kept on falling. It's a bit different, but the same thing is present in each sin. And so Adam was a type of Christ who was to come. Adam, one man, brought condemnation to all who sinned. In Christ, one man brought justification to all who believed and therefore received. Let's consider this verse in Romans 5. The free gift came from many offenses, resulted in justification. The free gift which came from many offenses result in justification. But for whom? For if, verse 17 of Romans 5, for if by the one man's offense death reigned to the one, that is Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Who are they? They are those who receive abundance of grace. They are not those who reject. They are those who receive. There's another gift they receive besides abundance of grace. It is the gift of righteousness, Romans 5:17. And it must be a gift. I often feel appalled at some clergymen of public countenance, who's been reported in the past, of saying that he wasn't bad enough to need Christ to die for him. I marvel. He's able to be satisfactory to God. He can live for a second in his presence with the pure and perfect holy righteousness and discerning depth of God and not squirm. Is he a God himself? Doesn't he know his limitations? Doesn't he understand that to say such a thing is to call God a liar? Little comprehension of the righteousness of God, which has peace in its wings. That's where you get it. pardon brings you the removal of guilt. The gift of righteousness provides you with a credit account so that God is able to look through you and over you and pushing aside your sin, show his pleasure in you and strengthen you to overcome sin. So that is it. He died for all. Anyone who tries to reduce the love of God is merely foolishly squirming from the fact that he would have all men to be reconciled. On the other hand, anyone who imagines that the redemption of God goes toward is ludicrous. It is for those who receive it. Do you imagine you can get a government check and spend the money if you don't receive the thing? Those who receive abundance of grace. You don't say, well, God, you know, it makes things a bit better for me. I managed to get along now. No. Abundance of grace. Undeserved kindness is your basis. And the gift, the righteousness by which you live before Christ is yours by gift, and you'll get it no other way. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, and you needn't look it up, we just take this, we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. In one sense, because it was necessary that you die, that any should be saved, that all were wrapped up in a package called death. Into that disastrous package comes abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness for whom? Guess whom? Those who receive it. The priest didn't put his hands on the head of the lamb for you in the Old Testament. There's the lamb, there's you, there's your sin, there are your hands, there's its head. Place your hands there and receive the gift of righteousness by faith. Don't imagine the priest will do it for you. He doesn't. You do it. It must be done. There's a transaction. And in 2 Corinthians 5:15, we read this, and it's in the middle of your sheet number 2, in blue. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. So if Christ has taken your life and given you new life, it's his new life, and did he live for himself? Certainly not. How do you know? He died for you. Then you also, as part of his kingdom, should no longer live for yourself. That should not be the context of your thoughts. You live for him who died and rose again. So if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's under new commission, new commandment, new perspective, new power, and he has new peace. Why? How can you have peace? There's only one way you can have peace. You have it because you know who you are, renewed as in the image of God from God's creation, what you are, a sinner, where you are to find peace, where you are to find life, and pardon, and righteousness in Christ, what you're meant to be doing, serving Christ, not seeking first yourself, how are you supposed to be doing it? By the power of the Spirit and by the wisdom of the Word. Where are you going? To heaven. And why are you getting there? Because Christ has paved the way and given you a free pass. Then there's peace. Peace about the past, the present, the future, the power, the perspective, the reason. It's all there. You can go in Buddhism and say, well, this is the way I sort of get along here. This is a bit difficult. Nirvana, I wonder what that is. I mean, you're sort of not there. You have no idea of where you are, why you are, why anything is. Those questions are answered in one place only. In Christ. Peace. And so we read in Romans 6:5, if you're still in Romans, Romans 6:5, if we've been united together or planted together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That planted together is an alternative reading. There is to be a double participation in the likeness of his death and the likeness of his resurrection. He bears the sin, you're the sinner, therefore that part goes on the cross, and the resurrection power comes in the life. Romans 6 verse 8 says, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Thus, as Christ was raised from the dead, so will those be whom he has actually covered, who received him, and so were crucified with him, as in Romans 6:6. and these shall be raised from the dead, as in 1 Corinthians 15. This mortal will put on immortality. I'm longing for that. In New Zealand, there was an attack on the bottle of resurrection. It was so silly. One of the ministers, poor fellow, he said, I don't want to get to heaven limping around with a bad leg. That's an argument for the resurrection, not against it. What twittishness can come when people refuse the truth by their wills? And so we come, number four, at the bottom of page two, to the establishment of atmosphere, as in, turning back to Colossians now, the establishment of atmosphere, as in Colossians 3, going 10 to 17. We already looked at some of these things, looking at verse 15, and let the peace of God, there's a deep, untroubled peace. The peace of God rule in your hearts, to which we are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of God, Christ, dwell in your hearts. And how is it going to get there? It has to be invited in and studied and watched and looked after. And let the word of God dwell in your hearts in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's the rule of peace, the grace of thankfulness, the liveliness of godly interchange, the glowing going by the word of God. And so overall, we get the essence of things. First of all, there's substitution. One thing goes, another thing comes. Sovereign sin is replaced with spiritual pardon. Wandering is replaced by wisdom. Grubbiness is replaced by godliness. Rubbish, Paul says, I count those things which he had as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. Rubbish is replaced by realization of true value. Vanity is replaced by spiritual sanity. Petulance is replaced by patience. License is replaced by love, the top of page 3. Quarrelsomeness is replaced by peace. Waywardness is replaced by directed voyaging with a pilot on board. Meaninglessness is replaced by meaningfulness and a name to claim. Then we come to the setting. Looked at the substitution and the essence of these matters, now the setting. Set your heart, remember, aloft in the Lord. Your heart with the Lord. Your mind on the heavenly things. Sanctify yourself. Mortify the sins which try to grab you and tease you and taunt you and waylay you like a highwayman. Resist the devil. Put to death those things. Plead with Christ as Noah would be pleading as he waited those perhaps 120 years until the ark was there. Plead with God. Don't just go the way of the world or your own flesh. Plead with Christ. In passion, seek to be like him and to move with him. Replace waywardness with directed voyaging. Well then, the setting is like this. And we can use words like sanctify. Make yourself holy by waiting on the Lord and seeking the vast runoff of his vital spirit. Like snow waters, as Jeremiah has it, coming right down to the plain. Have a change in your ways to express the Lord. If something hinders you walking and working and functioning as a Christian, then get rid of it. Christ said, chop off your right hand if need be. Better to come without it than into hell. Whole. And think of the beauty of this setting. In Psalm 73:23, it says, I am continually with thee. What more could you wish? Yesterday, we were going for a hike in the hills, and a sprightly little dog, with a speed I have rarely seen in any dog, came with us. He followed us on path here and path there, and he was so fast that while we were walking along, he'd be down the valley and up the valley and up a hill and back from the hill and following us all the way. He was a sprite of light. He would be gone in about 1 second, and you look down and he's a long way off. Extraordinary dog. But he looked back at us, checking us continually. Go all over the place and see, are we still there? Yes, these two old people are continually with me. The dog assured himself with much joy. And we find that we are continually with the Lord. If we fall, the righteous fall seven times and the Lord will forgive him. Seek the Lord. If we're strong, don't boast. If we're troubled, put it in the Lord's hands and really wait until what you need to live a godly life is granted to you. Peace, which passes understanding, live with it. Rejoice in it, knowing that I am continually with thee. Lo, I am always with you, says the Lord at the end of Matthew. So let us be about our Father's business. And finally, as we've looked at the essence, the substitution, the setting, we come to the thrust, the inspiration both outer and from within in Christ. You see, envelopment, not suppression. Christ doesn't just suppress. He develops us. He gives us abundance of life. And we're hidden in Christ. We're not making a song and dance about ourselves, but we're working for Him. So what is, first of all, hidden now in Christ will be exposed later, as it says, the righteous then will shine like the sun. We are vitalized by a hearty expression of what life should be by one who is it, by His Spirit ministering to us, by His Word teaching us. So that the heart is enlarged because of its source. It is enlarged with the joyful thought of its destiny when the crest becomes the rest. And the rest which we have by faith becomes the rest which we have by sight. So that the new installation of a new life in each soul has its outward expression, its inward peace, and it's Christ's cover. But this part at the end I will plan to finish with. Whatever. Well, we've spoken of this. There are songs and psalms that you sing. Grace in your hearts as you sing. But then look at 17. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Not perhaps like the Syrian tank which supposedly just ran over a boy. That wouldn't qualify. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you take a course, can you say, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are not sure, find out by prayer, by His word. If you are sure, then do it in that name. Giving thanks. It's great to have a name to serve. I'm glad I'm not serving some huge commercial company, because I'd far rather serve Christ. Not that you can't serve Christ in a huge commercial company, but you have to have your loyalties prioritized. Do all, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. I thank you, Father, for making my way clear, giving me the power. I don't mind the suffering, so long as we secure the victory. Thanks to God the Father, through Him. Amen. Our Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, for place, for washing, for new life, for new clothes to put on, for power, for peace, for joy, for direction, for protection, for guidance, for grace, for the abundance of life. We praise Your name in Jesus Christ and pray that You will help us to live worthy of this calling and grant us all that is necessary in the abundance of grace And thank you, Father, for the gift of righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.